Good morning, or good afternoon. Actually, good afternoon, huh? So let me read this familiar passage before we come back to what the canon read. This is again from Ephesians chapter 1. So I want to show you this and then go back and help you understand what Zechariah's prophetic word was about. Verse 3 of Ephesians 1. Blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That's always the key verse. That's what it means to be saved in Christ. Just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him, the Father, in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to his kind intention, the kind intentions of his will, to the praise, the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. Again, I love the language here. Just as he chose us, we didn't choose him, he chose us. We just said yes to the choice. Just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in Christ, holy and blameless before him in love, in a love relationship, having predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself. So we get to our holy and blameless before him in Christ in the love relationship Jesus has because we've been grafted into his sonship according to the kind intentions of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. The one who's before him face to face is the beloved in whom you're in union with. So now hear what he says. Blessed God of Israel, he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people. Grace. He raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David's his servant, Jesus. I believe the shofars in heaven, the noise in heaven, angels sounding shofars must have been stunning. Jesus in the incarnation, Jesus on the cross and the resurrection. As he spoke by the mouth of the holy prophets from old, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant and the promise which he swore to Abraham our father, to grant gift that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, now hear this, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. Now, what enemy? He saved us from a lot of enemies, all of our enemies, but what particular enemy did he save us from that we might be able to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him in a face-to-face relationship all of our days? The enemy of performance, the enemy of condemnation, the enemy of guilt, the fear of rejection. He says, because in Ephesians, we've been grafted into his sonship. In Christ, we are before the Father as holy and blameless before the Father as Jesus is. We're before him holy and blameless in love. When he sees his beloved son, he sees the beloved you. You're in union with the beloved. And therefore, we serve him without fear. The fear of rejection, the fear of condemnation, the fear of separation. Again, Jesus gathered you up into himself, and that became our salvation. You're forever in union with his humanity. That's forever in the presence of God. So I want you to listen to the rest of this. That's amazing to me. I love what it says in Ephesians. Chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before the Father in love. Not some stagnant, like, religious kind of atmosphere. Well, now that you're so holy and blameless, I guess I'm holy and blameless. And no, it's in love. It's not about performance. You're in Christ. You are as holy and blameless before the Father as he is. And he loves you just as much as he loves Jesus. That's what the scripture tells us several times in the Upper Room Discourse. You're in the beloved. And all this is because of the Father's kind intentions. If you have a vision of the Father as some grouchy perfectionist, you don't get it. To the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely, not reluctantly, freely bestowed on us and the beloved, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, speaking of his son, John the Baptist, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go to prepare before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give to his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Nothing between them and the Father anymore. Now listen to this, because of the tender compassion of our God. Here it says, because of the tender mercies of our God. One of the things the Lord was talking to me this morning in prayer, because we've been really praying for just into greater breakthrough here, seeing people healed. We travel around the world, see an amazing amount of people get healed. Blind, deaf, but even Heidi Baker says she sees about 5% of the people in this culture get healed. They pray for them. And so one of the things that the Lord reminded me of is what he told John Wimber that time. When John Wimber had his first breakthrough in healing, and he's driving down the road just thrilled and celebrating what just happened, and he saw this open vision. He was on I-5 in Southern California, which is an interesting place to have a vision, because you could get killed really easy. And he saw this huge honeycomb, and honey, it was just pregnant with honey, dripping honey. And there were people running underneath it with their mouths open, receiving the honey. Some were protecting themselves from it. There was just honey dropping everywhere. And he pulled over on the side of the road because he was so distracting. And the Father said to him, "Never beg me for my mercy again." And the Lord began to speak to me. He said, "Chuck, you don't have to pray hard enough to get a breakthrough. Stop begging me for mercy. Start thanking me for mercy. Start thanking me for the mercy of healing, for the mercy of whatever, the miraculous." Because our God, because of the tender compassion of our God, it's not a reluctant, angry perfectionist we're trying to overcome, bend his arm, twist his arm. He's a God of tender mercies and compassion, kind intentions, it says. That's an important word. Because of the tender compassion and mercies of our God, with which the dawn from on high, or the sunrise, the dawning of a new day, we live in that new day now, from on high shall visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness. No matter how far you've gone, no matter how far much you've drifted, no matter how dark the darkness is, those who sit in the shadow of darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. What's the way of peace? Jesus is the way. He is our peace with God. And therefore, we've said over and over again, we have been included into the life that Jesus lives and the favor he has with the Father. If you're in Christ, and you're before the Father in Christ, holy and blameless in love, this Father of kind intentions, this tender-hearted Father, you and I are at peace with him. There's nothing about you that would cause him to be reluctant to want to bless. Jesus is your peace with the Father. Therefore, we have every right to expect the same favor. We are co-heirs. Therefore, everything that's his is ours. What he would expect, we should expect. And if you'll notice that when he did stuff, he never begged, never had to pray too hard. He was like, say, "Thank you, Father." When he healed Lazarus, he said, "Lord, not for your sake, I know that you know, but for their sake, so they can hear, thank you, Father." And then he said, "Lazarus, come forth." Stunning to me, this song of Zacharias, this gospel in Christ. We're in a new day. It's a prophetic word for us. It's a new day, not just for us, body of Christ, but it's a new day of no longer begging God for mercy because we've gotten desperate, because something's gone on too long. So we have to plead and beg. It's resting faith he's looking for, trusting him. I was reading in one of the Psalms, I forget which one it was, yesterday, praying it, actually. And several times, I've noticed this several times in recent weeks, find scripture that says, if you will trust me, you will not be afraid. We're in a time where of just simply receiving and thanking him for mercy. He wants us to expect it. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.